Thank you for standing by, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the PGG Wrightson Limited half-year results briefing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone. Please note today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host speaker, Mr. Mark Dewdney. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, and welcome everybody to the PGG Wrightson result briefing for the 6 months to 31 December 2014. I'm Mark Dewdney, Chief Executive, and it's my pleasure to provide an overview view of our interim results for the 2015 financial year. With me on the call today are Julian Daly, our Company Secretary and General Manager of Strategy and Corporate Affairs, Fiona James, our Acting CFO, and Todd Robinson from our strategy team. I will summarise the results and our trading performance for about 10 to 15 minutes, and then there'll be time for questions. Before I start, though, I'd just like to recap on the key points of our market announcement. Before I do that, though, please note that we use operating EBITDA, excluding earnings from associates, as a key measure of performance within the business. This is what I will refer to as simply operating EBITDA throughout this announcement. This is a non-GAAP financial accounting measure, and I would refer you to our full accounts for details of how this relates to net profit measures. Readers of our accounts will also notice that this year we have changed the order of the accounts presentation to improve their readability and to ensure that the most useful information is presented first in the financial reports. So the key points of our announcement today are that operating EBITDA, excluding earnings from associates, was $33.6 million. That was up $11.3 million from the $22.3 million we reported in the corresponding period last year. Flowing down to net profit after tax, that was $19.7 million, and that was up $6.3 million from the $13.4 million that we reported in the first half of last year. As I'll discuss as we go on, there was strong growth from the majority of our business units. And as a consequence of this result, our board have declared an interim fully imputed dividend of 2 cents per share. And finally, in terms of key points, whilst there are some headwinds at present in agriculture in New Zealand, we're cautiously optimistic about our prospects for the balance of this year and beyond. So look, this is a very good result, and it's the strongest interim performance for PGG Wrightson in 7 years. The momentum that we've built on as a group is continuing, and I think you know, that's clearly being evidenced in increased sales and increased earnings. Right across our business, we've got great people and we've got great products, great technology, and we offer really good service to our customers. You know, we're working hard to stay ahead of our competitors, and our customers are continuing to respond to our improving offering. We're continuing to invest in our business and into the future of PGG Wrightson, and we've got a very clear, very simple strategy that we are executing on consistently. As I said, the board, with the performance in mind, has declared a fully imputed dividend of 2 cents a share, and that will be paid to shareholders registered at the record date of 12 March 2015, and the dividend will be paid on the 8th of April 2015. So commenting briefly on some of the external factors that have featured over the first half of the year, and it seemed at times as though the entire country was following the falling global price of milk. The outcome from that market adjustment means that collectively New Zealand dairy farmers today are expecting approximately $5 billion less revenue in the 2015 season than they did in 2014. This didn't materially affect spending patterns through the critical spring selling season, but we are seeing a slight moderation in demand over the summer for some of our products and services across the dairy sector. And on that note, it's pleasing to see signs in recent weeks of some strength in Fonterra auction prices achieved for dairy commodities, and we can see some early signs that that is flowing through to improved confidence in our dairy farming sector. On the other hand, and less widely publicised, beef prices have been much higher than historical levels. And similarly, confidence in sheep, horticulture and viticulture sectors has been solid, although we have seen the schedule for sheep meat ease back in recent months, largely as a consequence of dry weather. But overall, we continue to see good demand from our customers in all sectors of our business, with the exception of dairy at this point in time. Over the first half of the financial year, New Zealand agriculture sector benefited from generally a mild winter and good spring conditions, with the odd exception, like the crop damage that was experienced around Motueka as a result of the very severe hailstorm in November. And we've seen dry conditions develop and drought declared in some regions in the new year, particularly in the lower south and east coast of the South Island. Weather does have a major bearing on agriculture. It has been dry, but it's pleasing to see just a little bit of rain starting to come into some of the key regions over the last week or so. So let me now just comment briefly on each of the major business units. I'll start with retail. The performance in our retail business continues to improve year on year as the investments we're making in our technical training programs and store updates show through an improved market share. Retail revenue was up $17 million and operating EBITDA was up $2.6 million versus the prior period. Agriculture chemicals and seed, two of the categories where our technical expertise is very strong, both showed good increases, and encouragingly, a number of suppliers are recognising the market share gains that we are achieving. An example of the recognition that we are getting from our suppliers is the recent announcement that our AgriTrade business unit has been appointed the exclusive and master agent for the Roundup range of products in 5-litre and larger packages. So Roundup will be marketed and distributed to all New Zealand rural merchants through our AgriTrade business. This is new business for us, and it's one example of the type of opportunities that we are targeting to grow our business. Despite the market being highly competitive, our retail business continued to gain market share year on year in the ag chem, fertiliser, maize and fodder beet categories, and our focus on these core agronomy categories through the expertise of our sales team continues to underpin our retail business. New or renovated retail premises have been opened in Pukekohe, Katikati and Ikitahuna in the last 6 months as we continue to invest in our store network. We've also continued to roll out computer tablets to our retail sales team, providing them with better access to information to help them deliver improved real-time customer solutions and advice. I'll go to livestock now. Livestock revenues of $41.5 million were $12 million higher than the corresponding period last year, partially due to an export shipment of 3,600 Friesian dairy heifers that we made to China. This was the first shipment by PGW to China for a number of years and was a successful transaction that we're going to look to develop on as opportunities present in the future. We've got planning underway for further live export shipments and what we believe over time will be an increasingly important part of our livestock strategy. In the domestic market, revenues were up. Tallies were broadly similar to the prior corresponding period, but prices were higher for both cattle and sheep. And as is typical, though, in the livestock business, higher prices placed some pressure on margins. But overall, operating EBITDA was up $2.3 million on the corresponding period last year. Some of the strategic initiatives the livestock team have been working on include deploying tablets into the field and making improvements in the area of health and safety. And we've also welcomed a new general manager, Peter Moore, to our livestock business. As you will be aware, our livestock business makes most of its contribution to earnings in the second half, and weather patterns and changes in livestock prices can still have an impact on our full-year results. Seed and grain. The seed and grain business lifted operating EBITDA by $3.6 million in the first half. Increased demand for supplementary forage crop seed in New Zealand over spring, such as fodder beet, brassicas and herbs, contributed to this improvement. And this is a segment of the market where our business is very strong. Drop in revenues for seed and grain division was mainly attributable to the grain business, which faced challenging market conditions with lower prices, competition from imported grain, and reduced demand from supplementary feed mills. In South America, we also had a small drop in revenue as they were challenged with some extremely wet weather throughout their key sales regions and periods. This had the effect of delaying summer plantings and has slightly moderated demand as the wet conditions have been beneficial for the growth and persistence of existing pastures. In Australia, operating EBITDA has improved as a consequence of good operational performance and margin gains. The year has started well, good early sales in spring, though drying conditions have slightly reduced demand in recent weeks. Earnings from our international seed trading activities are tracking ahead of last year, with multiplication activity relatively strong. We've also implemented a number of efficiencies in the seed production process, and our R&D program continues to develop a range of improved cultivars. These offer us the potential to grow and secure valuable markets for the future. Other business units, our water business continues to grow. Revenue increased by more than 50%, which is an excellent result given the fact that the prior corresponding period included a significant amount of one-off activity as a result of the September 2013 wind storm in Canterbury. Irrigation sales have been strong, and sales of our IQ irrigation product continue to grow as the economic and environmental benefits of optimising water application become better known and understood. Operating EBITDA is also increasing, although at a more modest rate as we continue to invest in staff and systems to support the overall growth in the business. Real estate was one of the few businesses that did not grow its earnings, but it nevertheless has made some significant operational improvements. Whilst land values have remained firm, we've noticed a reduction in listings, particularly in the South Island. Nevertheless, though, we've been involved in some significant transactions during the period and have been securing strong results for our vendors, with some record sales prices being achieved. We've also implemented a new back office system for the real estate business, which will assist the sales force considerably in the areas of information management, customer relationship management and marketing. Our wool business grew operating EBITDA despite revenue being back 2% through margin improvements and cost control. We've secured a number of new relationships with North American and Japanese buyers and have been trialling live streaming of our wool auctions. A really good example of progress in wool is the recently announced multi-year contract to supply New Zealand Merino wool to the American sock manufacturer Point Six. This contract will see PGW wool supply 150 tonnes of fine micron merino wool per year over the next 3 years. This will give more exposure to New Zealand merino in the United States and will potentially lead to greater demand for the fibre and base layer clothing and the specialty outdoor clothing market. If I go now to the balance sheet, our balance sheet remains strong. In June 2014, we purchased 40 properties that we had previously been leasing. This increased our debt by around $30 million, but with a corresponding decrease in lease expenses over the six-month period. And this explains a significant part of the $2.5 million lower corporate overhead cost at the operating EBITDA level that will be seen in the other segment in our interim financial results. Our operating cash flows across the business were negative $11.4 million, reduced from the prior year. And primarily, that was a result of investment in our South American operations working capital and inventory in order to support the future growth that we see in that region. Our strategic focus in our most recent annual report, at annual shareholders meetings, and in the various discussions we've had via the media over the last 12 months, and we've been articulating our strategy through the lens of three key themes. One, improving our business. Two, growing our business. And three, looking for game changes that will allow us to meet our changing customer needs and stay ahead of our competitors. It's a really simple focusing strategy, and it's one that we can see gaining traction throughout our business. We're very pleased with the progress we're making. I've already touched on several of the business-specific initiatives throughout the call that fit with that strategic plan. Other initiatives that we have progressed include the implementation of a major back-office systems upgrade project, the launch of a mentoring program to help to further develop our future leaders, and a number of initiatives and improvements in the area of health and safety, including implementation of company-wide driver safety programs. We've also initiated further investments into our South American business to set us up for the next phase of growth there. An example of that is a project underway to build a new logistics centre and R&D centre in Montevideo in Uruguay. This is a significant project for our business in Uruguay, and it shows our commitment to invest and grow in South America, with construction commencing later this month. So finally, some comments on the outlook for the remainder of the financial year. The strength of this first half result has given us cautious confidence that the 2015 full year result will also be solid. And whilst the impact of a number of factors over the remainder of this financial year are unable to be determined, I am pleased today to be able to raise our full year guidance for operating EBITDA to a $62 to $68 million range. This represents a significant improvement on last year's strong result of $58.7 million EBITDA. Now, there's still a lot of trading activity to get through before the end of the fiscal year, and there does remain some uncertainty, both with economic and climatic conditions on farm, creating some challenges. As I mentioned earlier, the dairy payout in New Zealand is forecast to be at its lowest level in almost a decade, and the dry summer is leading to some reduced farm spend, and will do so over the balance of the year if it remains as widespread as it was in 2013. On the other hand, if dry conditions become more localised, we see that that could stimulate trading in livestock supplementary feed and create the need and opportunity for additional regrassing and crops to provide winter and spring feed. Weather, of course, will also impact on trading results of our Australian and South American operations, given that the earnings of both businesses are weighted toward the second half of the year. So, we live with those external factors, and as you know, they can impact on our results both positively and negatively. But through that, the improvements in our business that have been made over recent years sees us well placed to capitalise on the many underlying positive opportunities in the agricultural sector. Our business is on the right track. We continue to believe that PGG Wrightson offers investors one of the best ways to get a broad-based exposure to agriculture and technology. So finally, on behalf of the management team, I'd like to extend our thanks to our customers, our suppliers, our shareholders, and all of our staff for their ongoing support of the company. So that concludes the formal presentation. I'll pass back to the convener, Kerry, now, and we're happy to take questions on any aspects of the result or our business. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you do have a question at this time, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question comes from the line of Ka Yu Yeo from First New Zealand Capital. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Good morning, Mark, and congratulations on a very encouraging result. I've got a couple of questions for yourself. One, if you can provide some context, a little bit more context in terms of your low end of your guidance range as well as your high end, whether the high end really assumes the best possible outcome for your livestock and seasoned grain business, firstly, or as a mixture of outcome. And secondly, in terms of the operating cash flow, whether that deterioration that we saw at half year of about 11 million or so deficit against last year's $10 million positive operating cash flow, whether that's to do with timing factor in regards to your working capital position. Thanks.
Sure. Thanks, Ka Yu. Look, the first one, the guidance range, if you take the first half result and essentially add the actual performance in the business for the second half of last year, you end up at about the top of the range. So, you know, we are striving to achieve at least the same performance in the second half this year as we did last year. But we do have to recognise that there are, you know, there are a couple of headwinds this second half that we didn't face last year, and so, you know, that cautiousness, you know, essentially reflects the bottom half of the low end. And you know, if you look back at the 2013 second half result, which was in an environment that was, you know, weather impacted, you know, the bottom end reflects trading performance that is, you know, similar to that level. So that's, you know, that's how we see that. The operating cash flow, there's an element there that will be permanent, and that's the build-up of a conscious decision to build up our working capital in South America. The rest of the difference really reflects, you know, growth in retail in the first half and the fact that at balance date, you know, we have debtors outstanding. Unclear at this point in time what the impact of the low cash flows on dairy will be in terms of collection of accounts, but, you know, realistically, we would expect that collections will be, you know, will be tougher in the second half from that segment than they were this time last year.
That's helpful, Matt. Could I please then get you to clarify from a debtor's age perspective whether Fiona or yourself have observed any significant move from the so-called 30-day to 60-day to 90-day categories?
No change in our aging profile at the half year this year compared to last year. Total overdue is running about the same level. That position held through January, and I haven't seen our debtor's ledger at the end of February.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just a reminder, if you do have a question, please press star followed by one and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question is from the line of James Baskand from Forsyth Barr. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, moderator, and congratulations, Mark and team, on a very, very good result. Just a couple of questions from me as well. Firstly, around the CapEx profile going forward, obviously investment in the logistics centre in Montevideo, and you mentioned, Mark, back office systems investment. I was just wondering if you could maybe provide an ongoing CapEx expectations for the rest of the year and into fiscal 16.
James, I won't provide kind of dollar quantification there, but the major items of CapEx over the balance are the logistics centre in Montevideo. We've also got an upgrade of our Coarsons maize plant in Gisborne that'll go through in the next 12 to 18 months. And the third major item of CapEx is as you say, in and around our IT systems, with a focus on CRM systems and rollout of mobility and an upgrade of our HR and payroll systems. You know, all up, those programs, once completed over the sort of 12 to 24 month period, we're talking 20 to 25 million of CapEx.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful. And secondly, some clarification around the timing and the scale of the heifer sales to China. Maybe if you could clarify what sort of contribution they did make to the first half, and then the timing, perhaps, of any further sales.
Yeah, we got our first shipment away in July. It was profitable for us. It made a contribution of a good material contribution. Just forgive me if I'm a little bit vague on the amount. From a competitive point of view, that's not a number that we would want to disclose. But look, it was profitable. We've been negotiating in China over the last 3 or 4 months, but the market has dried up with the falling price of milk inside China. We're keeping relationships open, and we believe that the market will resume itself. But we don't have any forecasted shipments for the balance of this year. And we take a very low risk position on the export trade. So what we will do is we will negotiate, and if we can get a contract that we can then secure a boat and secure cattle in New Zealand, we'll do it. But we don't take positions on boats or positions on cattle as we had done several years ago.
Sure, thank you. That's excellent. And just finally, on the seeds business, and I slightly missed what you said around the profitability there, but can I take it that the New Zealand operations were the key driver of that upside in EBITDA?
Yes, they were. So 3.6 million increase in EBITDA in the first half, and the significant portion of that was out of New Zealand.
Okay. That's fantastic. That's all from me. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you. Just a final reminder, if you do have a question, please press star followed by one. Your next question is from the line of Craig Brown from ANZ. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, and I can also pass on my congratulations, Mike, to you and the team for continuing the stellar performance of the business. Just a couple of questions. On the rural servicing side, you mentioned in there the increasing competitive or behaviour of your competitors, and there's been a few changes. I'd just be interested if you could update us on how that they are performing, and it feels like you're still retaining, if not gaining, market share.
Yeah, I can't. There's obviously not a lot of transparency of the financial performance of Farmlands and RD1, who are our two major competitors. So, on a benchmark basis, we can't tell. But in the key categories that we measure, we do see market share gains. It's competitive out there. You know, the front end is tough, but we focus on our strategy of having the best people with the most technical expertise, and we think that is directly delivering the benefits that we're seeing in our performance. I can't add much more than that. I guess RD1 is focused heavily around dairy. It's a pure dairy play, and Farmlands is probably more of a retail focused business than ourselves, who tend to focus on a much wider portfolio and put more emphasis on the agronomy and technical categories.
Okay.
But, you know, we respect our competitors, but we like to try to beat them in the market.
Yeah, no, look, it feels like you've adopted the right strategy, Mark, so and it feels like it's making traction. Look, and the second question relates more to the livestock part of the business, and I guess one of the things we've been reading in the papers, and apologies, it's coming from someone based in Auckland, but just the impact on the drought on the dairy industry has seen, you know, culling of herds. How does that impact or show up in your livestock business? And is that more in the second half impact than the first?
Yeah. So a couple of things have happened. If I talk about dairy, that are different this year than normal. It seems that empty rates, so cows that haven't got pregnant, are running at a higher level than they have historically run. I'm not sure what's driving that. Some of it, I think, is because inductions, which farmers have typically induced 5 or 10% of their cows, and inductions have been banned for next year, so farmers stopped mating earlier because they knew there was no point having a late cow. That's contributed to higher empty rates, and then that coupled with dry weather over January, February is seeing more cows culled as boners to the works now. But now that factor, that really didn't impact on the first half of the year's results, but we are seeing more sales of empty cows this year than we have in the past. Now what that means is that farmers are then short of cows for next year, so we're seeing quite strong demand at the moment for dairy herds for replacements, and we've had a very good clearing rate there in the last month, so that there's an offsetter there. On the other side of things, sheep values and lamb values fell during December, January, and into early February as it got very dry. But we're starting to see just a pickup in trading activity now, coming out of areas that have had good rain in the last 10 days. And there's been quite good rain in the Waikato, quite good rain in the Hawke's Bay Wairarapa. And so that's starting to stimulate a little bit more trading activity. On a market share basis, we measure market share through the livestock sale yards, and our market share is probably up 1 or 2 percentage points on last year. The wild card is that people who bought store cattle, so cattle that they were going to fatten through in December, were paying sort of $2.80 to $3 a kilo. Often, those farmers would then sell those cattle in May or June and then rebuy younger cattle to take through the winter. But the current beef prices are 30 or 40 cents lower than they were in December. So there's a question mark over whether those traders will sell and rebuy in May and June, or whether they will just carry through the cattle they bought in December. So lots of complex relationships between weather and market prices and trading activity, Craig, there.
Yeah, look, I appreciate your answer, Mark. It's very useful to help us understand the business. So once again, thanks for your responses and for the good result.
Thank you for your feedback.
Thank you. We've got a follow-up question from the line of Kayu Yeo from First New Zealand Capital. Go ahead, please.
Thanks. Mark, in regards to the $20 to $25 million CapEx program slated for the next 12 to 24 months, can you provide some sense of how far are you into this program? I assume these are capital spend that are over and above your maintenance capex of anywhere between sort of $6 to $9 million a year going forward.
Certainly, the South American logistics upgrade and the Corson's May's upgrade would be over and above maintenance capital. So Uruguay is well underway. We're starting build this month. Corson's, we're still going through the consenting and design process, so that's a little further out. And IT, look, it's a mixture of replacement and new. Our balance sheet is strong. We've got a lot of headroom there, and we can easily fund these out of existing facilities and operating cash flows.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you. We've got no further questions at this time, so I'll hand back to you, Mr. Dewdney.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining the call. I hope that this has been interesting and instructive. Feel free to contact us direct if you have other questions, and thank you for your continued interest and support of our business. See you all later. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your attendance. You may all now disconnect.